All right, before we do the third perek in Shari Yechid Be'emuna, I wanted to share with you the Kavod Rosh Chodesh Adar, a reason to invest in understanding our Emuna a little bit deeper. So we can learn a piece, the Bav Rav Zalzayin is going to turn me on to this piece, in Avedas HaGershuni. The Avedas HaGershuni, I think we learned a piece from this once in the past. His name was Ugershon Ashkenazi. He was right here that he was a Rav in a bunch of cities, and at the end of his life he was Rav in the city of Kalamaya. He was a son-in-law of Rav Menachem Mendel of Kosov, who authored the Ahava Sholem, who was the predecessor of all the Vizhnitz dynasties. When he was born, I don't know, but the Sefer was first printed in Tofresh Chaf Dalet. Tzuriel says that was 1864. That was the first time it was printed. So this is a piece in Mardura Tinyana, in the back of the Sefer. Melchama Hashem Bamalik Midardar. Okay, it's a melchama to Hashem. We're going to read the Shabbos next Shabbos. Bamalik Midardar. Ain loy pirish klal. That's one way to say it. This has no apparent explanation. Nearly beezus Hashem Yisbarach. Kigabi klalus adam arisha nemar. About the curse to Adam, it says, "Koitz v'dardar tatzmiach lach." Hashem says to Adam Rishon, the result of your actions is going to be that the earth is going to give forth thorns and thistles. V'yadua, the dalid de'echad hurabasa. We know that the dalid in Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, is a huge dalid. Sign a mezuzah. Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and so on. Interestingly, Vigam Haresh De'el Acher Hugam Kein Rabosa, in the Decalogue, in the Aseres Adibris, the Resh of El Acher, that Resh is also an oversized letter. Vehatam, the reason that the Rabbeinu Shalom put in his Torah a large Dalid and a large Resh, and this is a Yisoid that's brought in this form of the Bnei Yisoschar numerous times. Shalei Yischalfu Ahadodi. The reason Rabbeinu Shalom made those two letters huge is that they dare not be confused with one another. Ki b'nekel hu litois. It's very easy to make a mistake between Hashem Echad and El Acher. How is that? V'yochel liyois sha'emid mo'utev b'talis etfilin v'aisik b'toira. A person can be standing wrapped in his talis and tefillin and be studying Torah, and yet his heart can veer to other gods, by having an ulterior motive or extraneous thoughts. Boy. What's worser is ve'ein ketz la'avedosei agrua. In this type of Avodah Zarah, of Machshava Zaras and Pnius, there is an infinite number of forms of extraneous thoughts and ulterior motives. What's Pnius? Pnius are ulterior motives. V'yoyse geruah ma'evet chalil avodah salilim. This is worse than bowing down to an idol. Why? Sheyesh keitz l'avodasa, because the idol, v'neshvi, is only as big as the idol. Whereas when it comes to ulterior motives and extraneous thoughts, they're limitless. Thought is limitless, and idols are finite. So put that in your pipe and don't smoke it. What's more, not only is it limited, but by serving an idol, it's possible to come quicker to truth, Shain Mamish Basiyose, that you're going to recognize that it's a stupid idol. Whereas with our own ulterior motives, we get so into them that we end up serving them without recognizing that we're involved in shtus. The source of all this, this Yisoid of Avodah for Pnius, its source is really brought in Chavis Halvavis. This is incredible. Vizehi Azhara. This is the meaning of why the Rabbeinu Shalom puts it into these terms. I don't want you having any other gods. Alponai, when you're serving me. He doesn't say I don't want you to have any of the gods, but especially when, especially when you're standing and doing my service, get rid of your idols, get rid of your other gods. Now, again, adding layer upon layer. Now that Antichnesek, the Gemara tells us, came along and eradicated the Avedizara, the desire for crass idolatry. You're going to say what? That the warning of the Torah is no longer relevant? You can't say that. It says, the Avedis HaGeshuni, Kol Azhoris Mi Avedizara Hu Hakab Avedizabera. If that's the case, then all of the warnings about idolatry are all about how we are serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning, stop deceiving yourself and stop switching good for bad and bad for good. Hainu, to put it into other terms, stop fooling around with the Dalit and the Resh. Stop switching the Dalit for the Resh. Now, he says further, and again, this is almost identical to the Agadah Kalla. I'm not sure if they were contemporaries. I'm not good with these dates. But V'ein chilek bein hadalad laharesh ala bekoitz. What's the difference between the dalad and a resh? The difference is the koitz, the little shmichig that's on the back, right? Hadalad hu derech kavin. A dalid is made up of two lines. V'hu beis kavin. It's made up of two straight lines. V'haresh hu chatzi eagle, whereas the resh is a half circle. Lushan eagle. Okay. The reason it's elacher is because it's rounded, which is the same language as an eagle. Sh'oivav lelohus arba. Its desire, its yearning, is towards many gods. Okay, and just in case we thought that we were understanding it, V'agul, and everybody knows that the concept of the circles, it's a broken world, V'akavin, but the world of the straight lines, U'olam ha'yosher v'hatikun, Tzuriel, we'll explain this to you later. Hu b'b'chines eitz hadas toivira. Okay, this is the world of confusion that Adam Arishin brought into existence, a confusion between the world of the Igulin and the world of the Kavin. Okay. Ula'acha chet Adam Harisha in hello. Nishave haklala. You know what the klala is? That the kites that's on the back is vidar dar. There's this terrible confusion between the dalad resh, dalad resh. So Hashem tells Adam Harisha, what you just brought into existence is a world of kites. Vidar dar. A confusion between the dalad resh, dalad resh. Hu achilof. Shebein dalad the resh, ubein resh the dalad. Well, this is what Adam Rishon resulted in. V'hu akoitz shebein neyem, and that is the kites that he is referring to, is the kites that should be so obvious and so explicit, is now confused. What's more, just in case you thought this was coincidental, v'gam b'misper shebein dalad the resh, the gematria difference between the letter dalad and the letter resh, huschum kuf tzadik vav, is the same gematria as kites. So this ain't no mistake, guys. That is the kites. That's the chilik between the dalad and the resh. L'chein k'siv oisi is gedoilas. For this reason, the master of the universe put in massive letters. L'man sheyishma nafshoi, that we be very careful with our lives. Shleyachliv beira l'toiv, that we don't confuse the good and the evil. You guys there on the phone? Hello? I hope they're there. Vehine, to take it a step further. Next paragraph. Imechaven b'tfilosei tzerech atzmoi. If a person's davening is all about themselves, hu gam kim b'chalal ze, they're also into self-service. Sha'ivet es atzmoi. We're serving ourselves. V'loyas ha'boyra, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ikir milchemes amalek, and the main arena for the war with Amalek or Mechemes Hayetzer. We know that, and there are Rishonim who say that due to the fact that we can't play it out physically, that the Mechema of Amalek Bepashtus is now Mechemes Hayetzer. That's where the pasuk, the simple meaning of the pasuk is. He stands opposing the Rabbeinu Shalom's Kisei Ram V'Nisa. V'Amalek, Gematria Ram. And for that reason, Amalek, he presents himself as the opposing Ram. Okay, now. V'Amid Lachsar Ha'alev Shal Kisei. Again, the Apturov has a whole maroch on this, that his objective is to remove the Aleph from the Kisei, so the Yeh Kisei the Kedusha, that the world should no longer be a seat for holiness, rather do it all for yourself. Right? As we know, this is Kiyod al Case, Ko, Case without an Aleph. Yeah. Now, is Rosh Tevis Amalek. For this reason, the Rosh HaTevis of Amalek is Amenas LeKabul. They do everything only for Amalek, is an acronym for Amenas LeKabul. It's all, I do serve, I'm very from, but I do it all for me. It's all about me. The result of this is that rather than our service being for the sake of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, where the Dalid of Echad is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead we end up with El Acher Rachmana Litzlan. This is what the Pasuk says, that the Milchama for Hashem Bamalek is, hello? Midor, Dor. It's still continuously the confusion of the Dalad Reish, Dalad Reish. Kol HaMilchama. The Milchama today is Shlayachlif LeYomer, that we dare not confuse and switch. Hadalad Bereish, Bereish Bedalad, Hakoitz Vadad, Shalchet Odom Harishon. That's the confusion. The same confusion of the Dalad Reish continues today, that we confuse Midor, Dor. Now,
how is this chet doima to sort of concept of el acher?
Who's chet?
Not.
He brought it into his chet, brought into existence this confusion, is what he's saying. That was the result of it. How it brought it into, he doesn't discuss
right
how that happened. Now, Rina Mevayba told us Yankiv Yosef. Told us explains. The Talmud says that this was the advice of Haman. Zera Amalek, who is the descendant of Amalek, who says, Yasu eitz gavoy yachamishim amma, make a gallows 50 amas tall. Lizrik chitzim lamotcha yehudi, gavus alev. What did he want to do? He wanted to take Mordechai and bring him into arrogance. You pull him up on a 50 amma thing, meaning we need to introduce to Mordechai some gayus. Shiyadamaloi, how do you do that? You make Mordechai HaTzadik think that erot shaychis mitsharanun. You convince the Mordechai, you know, you are so scholarly that you now have touched the 50th level, where even Meish Rabbeinu and Shlema Melech and so couldn't reach, you've reached there. V'yal Yedezeh, the result of Mordechai reaching arrogance will be a Kalkul Avidosa. He will destroy his service. V'yachlif Hadalid L'Reish. And the result will be that he will again, he'll enter the world of Amalek, which is Midor Dor, to again reinvigorate the confusion between the Dalad and the Reish. Ulam. Mordechai Yehudi, Ochaz Heitiv Alev Shalakise. Mordechai wasn't buying it. Mordechai grasped a hold of very well the Aleph of the Kise. What did he do? V'yikones ha'alif ben adalid laharesh. And he put a barrier. The Aleph of the Kise, he put in between the Aleph and the Reish. L'man shalo yita, that he has a barrier in between. Now, what the Aleph again is representative always, as we see in Maranayim, and always the Aluf Shalom, it's the Rebbeinu Shalom, right? So that he won't make a mistake and end up in the trap of self-service. Okay? Now, Riyadua, everybody knows, if a person serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu in truth, and it's not about himself, through these two concepts of awe and humility, pretty much a diagnosis of our times, but the reason we don't experience Simcha is because we're doing it all for self-service, and it isn't happening the way we envisioned. God, this isn't what I bought. This was not what I signed up for. So we're always living in disappointment because we're not getting what we expected. We were told, push here, and you get A, B, and C. And it's not working out the way we were told it all comes together, right? So if one experiences Simcha Shel Mitzvah, it has to be that the Avodah is geared towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'maivitchas v'shalom b'pnius ha-machshav v'zaris. When a person serves with ulterior motives and all kinds of extraneous thought, maybe I said they atzlus viatzvus v'sheker, brings to these three magical qualities. First of all, of lethargy, because there's no geshmak in it, right? If we get we all know what it's like to be a chachris, and you know the guy who's standing there with his tefillin, he turns to the other guy and says, "Am I putting him on or am I taking him off?" Right? That we can be so lost that we don't even remember where we are. So what kind of fun is that? Vatzvus, and then we get depressed about ourselves. And certainly it's shek. However, if we arrive at these days that happen every year when we can tie into the emanations of the Nes of Purim, if we can emulate Mordechai, Hatzadik, and get a hold of the Aleph of the Kisei, which is V'hu Aluf HaShalaylam, he was the Aleph of the world. L'man Shliach Livzeh B'zeh, we use the Aleph as the barrier so that we don't confuse the Dalet and the Reish. V'zeh Mishenichnas Aleph Dalet Reish. If we can put the Aleph between the Dalet and the Reish, as Ma'avim B'Simcha, then we can experience Simcha. Ha'anish Anichnas Ha'Aleph Bein Adalet and the Reish. Shaliach Liva Zebezeh, to keep these two concepts away from one another. V'li Yavidah say, Ki'im La'Hashem Levadai, their service will be only for Hashem's sake. Then Yochalovi L'Dei Simcha Shal Mitzvah, Limcha Hashem Amalek, and to wipe out a Molech HaZorik, Chitzim of the Steroyas, Ladiach Yisom HaVidosim, is constantly throwing arrows and missiles to get us off track. V'remez Midor Dor Al Chodesh Hu Kofel Lepomim V'en Chodesh Acher Kezeh. He says another remez that we know it's Dor Dor because the only month that ever can be a double month is the month of Adar. Midar Adar. So our job is to introduce the Aleph in between these two concepts. Now, so what I would like to, the reason I thought this is so appropriate, is because somehow, in my mind, the concept of Emunah is that Aleph. Is the Aleph that we're talking about in the Shar Yichud Emunah is the most powerful, one of the most powerful tools that we can access in really wrapping our head around the concepts of Emunah. So we'll start in light of the Avodah of Mishenichnas Aleph to the Dal, between the Dal and the Reish. Let's start Perek Gimel, which is on page Ayin Ches, page 155. Last week we discussed how logical and reasonable and obvious it should be to any thinking person that if Kriyas Yamsuf, where the Rebbeinu Shlom just changed one of the qualities of water, He didn't change the essence of it. He just changed the fact that it doesn't flow. And that required a moment-to-moment ongoing effort of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to keep the water from crashing down. How much more so is the bringing of Yesh Me'ayin an ongoing effort of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to continue to bring the world and all of anything that exists in the world on an ongoing basis, that that's going to require an ongoing effort of creation. That was the... And he said, he quoted a Maimon Chazal, that it says, V'atem Mechayes Kulam, don't read it Mechayes, read it Mahavad. The Ribbono Shel Olam is bringing everything into existence moment by moment. Zogt Baal Tanya, top of the page. Hinei Achra Dvarim Vayim Eseila, now that we discuss this truth, Kol Maskil Odover, any thinking person, Yavin Lashurai, understands thoroughly, Eich Shekol Nivra V'yesh, how every creation and yesh and that which we refer to as being something, who be'emes nechshev la'ayin ve'efes mamish, is literally gunish mitnisht, it's nothingness. Legabai, now here this word has to be very carefully translated, because there are those who translated compared to. It's not compared to. It's in relationship to. In relationship to the koyach hapoyel, the appearance of any true existence, in relationship to the one who is creating it at this moment, v'ruach piv, and the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, kaviyachol, shebenifol ha-mahava yisit, shebenifol, sha-mahava yisitomit, that's bringing it constantly, moment by moment, into existence. U'moitzioi me'ayin mamish li'yesh. That those statements of creation that at this very moment bring all existence into being. So we understand that the only true existence, therefore, is that being that is right now creating. Because the minute the creator stops creating it at this second, it ceases to exist. So what's the only real creation? It's almost humorous, because from our vantage point, this is a yesh, and that's an ayin, right? No, who's the real yesh and who's the real ayin? There's only one real yesh, and this is a projection of that yesh. But without that projection at this moment, then nothing else exists. We call it yesh miayin, because from our limited vision, all we see is you know, the metal and the wood. The Ribbono Shel Olam, we don't see, so we refer to him as the ayin. The fact that all these creations and all this stuff looks to us like a yeish, like something umamoshes, and it seems like reality. You know why that is? It's because we can't grasp or see with our fleshiga eyes as koyach Hashem, the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'ruach piv, and the spirit of his mouth, shebin nivra. It literally is in every creation. In every creation are the letters that are bringing it its existence. Not that he's saying it there and somehow it's creating it here. No. In each creation, its essence contained in it are the letters that are bringing it into existence. If the Ribbono Shel Olam would give the fleshiga eye permission to see, to grasp the true existence and the true spiritual formation of each and every creation, that right now is pouring through it from the words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu emanates, in the spirit of his mouth, if we would somehow be able to see that, we would stop seeing the physicality of things. Not that the physicality wouldn't exist, but that's not what we would see when we looked at it. You see this all the time. You see, two people can look at things and see totally different things. They have it with these pictures. They have it in all there are different things where you can look at things and see completely different things. And certainly in incidents in life, and anybody who's ever had a conversation with a woman knows that a conversation You know, we all heard the same words.
And we are watching.
Yes, but it's never the same conversation. And what do you mean? We said the same words, and we know that it's not the same thing, right? So, how much more so do we see that this is it's not this with the Elamai, the Rabbanu Shlom is covering our eyes right now, and we can't see it. But the Gashmias is batal b'metzias mamish. In reality, in the world of truth, the Gashmias is there, but it is completely nullified and secondary compared to the true spiritual essence of what something is. How do you know that that's the case? How do you know which one is first and which one is second? So he says, if the Rebbeinu Shlomo were to cut away and to stop the flow of the spiritual statement that's bringing it into existence, it would cease to exist. It wouldn't cease to exist right now. It would retroactively cease to exist because those statements have been reverberating ever since. These words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that emanate right now, it and it alone is that which brings it into existence constantly. It is that which makes something out of nothing right now. And it brings it into existence. Is imkain, if that's the case, efes biladoi be'emes, then there is nothing but him in truth. Not in an imaginary way, not in some kind of a superficial or mystical way, but in essence, there is nothing but him. He is the only one who's right now saying these words and bringing these things into existence. Now, in order to give us a way to digest this. So he says, a mashal is a parable to understand this, who are Hashemesh, is the light that comes forth from the sun. That illuminates this world. There are places in the world, we are told, that the sun actually reaches and actually warms the earth. It's hard to imagine right now. It is so cold. But there are places, and we read about them, that the sun reaches the world. What are we dealing with? We're dealing with rays and light that spreads from the body of the sun, the ball of fire. And any seeing being can see that it is Meir al Haaretz, that it illuminates the earth, ubichlal olam, and the entire space of the earth. Vine ze poshet, he says, let's think about this. It's obvious. She'or v'ziv hazeh, that these rays that we experience, and anybody who suffers from migraines knows that when you walk out in a sunny day, especially a sunny day where there's snow on the ground, how real those rays are, right? Now, we all know, we have no question, that those rays, yesh negam, ken beguf v'chomer kader ha-shemesh atzmai. There's no question in our mind that those rays exist within the ball of the sun itself, right? Sheba shamayim, that's up there. If it can reach Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is Kolshkin Shiuchal Herbim Koima, clearly it can also illuminate in its own body. Rak Shisham Bim Koima Mamish. The distinction is, how come nobody talks about the rays of the sun in the sun? Very simple. Because the rays in the sun is Nechshava Zivazel the Ayin VF is Mamish. The rays of the sun in the sun have virtually no purpose, no standing. They have no, there's compared to the brilliance and the heat and the shine of the ball of fire of the sun itself, those rays are meaningless. Because they're completely nullified vis-a-vis the ball of the sun. because it is the source of that light that we're trying to give some chashivas to. For after all, the light and the rays that we see down here, it's only an upshine, it's only a secondary result of the essence of the ball of the sun. Rak, it's only in the area of this world, tachas kol hashamayim, beneath the heavens, ve'ala aretz, and on the earth, she'ein kan guf kadar hashemesh, that we don't have here the essence of the ball of the sun, b'mitzius sanirikan, here we can appreciate and see ha'ir v'zivazeh, here we can see the rays and the light, liyesh mamish, and it's true, it's a reality. You say, I'm not dismissing the fact that it's a reality. Here, it plays a very important role. You can't grow vegetables and flowers and all kinds of things can't exist without it. Is v'noifal olav kan shame yesh be'emes. Therefore, we give great value to sunlight here in this world, which is distant from the sun. Next page. Masha'en ken kishuhu b'mekoyroi. This is not the case when we're addressing the rays of the sun as they exist in the ball of the sun. B'gof HaShemesh is ein noifel olav sham shem yesh klal. There is no name to give the ray of the sun within the sun. Rak sham Ayin ve'efes. There, it is nothingness. It has no value. It has no purpose. It has no standing. Ki be'emes or sham li ayin ve'efes mamish. There, it's garnished. Shein meir sham, because those rays can't possibly illuminate there. Rak mekoyr levada. The only thing that illuminates there is the source itself. Shu guf hashemesh, which is the body of the sun. Hameir, that's illuminating. Ve'efes belade. Nothing else there illuminates. Nobody's going to go to refer to a ray of the sun within the ball of the sun, which is illuminating itself. Ukidvarim ha'ela mamish. He says, literally, in a perfect way, bidemusam kitzalmam, in that image, literally, him kol habruim, are all creations, ligabe vis-a-vis, compared to shefa hu'eliki, the bounty of godliness, miruach piv, from Hashem's mouth, hashefei aleim, that pours forth from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create all creations, umahava isam, and bring them all into existence. V'hu mekoyram, and he, the Ribbono Shel Olam, is their source. V'heim atzmam, and all creations, einam rak k'me'or v'ziv mispashet min hashefa, they are only but light and rays that flow from that bounty, v'ruach Hashem ha'shefeo mislabish b'teicham, and the bounty, the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that flows and is embodied in those creations, u'moitziyam, and at every moment takes them, me'ayin, from non-existence, liyesh, to existing. But, having said that, for this reason, they cease to have any significance. They are considered literally nothing. In comparison to, in relationship to, their creator, you can't refer to them as a yesh at all. When you relate to it as it is in its source. Rak tachas hashamayim. It is only in great distance. And we're going to refer later, he's going to explain what this means. How do you have distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rak tachas hashamayim she'en sham mikoyrei. It's only distant from that heaven, which is not the source. It is only here that even it's even here. You can't really call the creations a yesh. It's only to our what he calls our fleshiga eyes, she'en anu ro'im ha'masigim klal ha'samikar, because the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, we can't see the source. Shu'u ruach Hashem ha'mahavayisim, which is the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that brings them all into existence at this moment. It's not our fault. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, that we should see the world in its gashmiistic manifestation. U'lechein, for this reason, nir aleinenu, it seems to our eyes, gashmiyas hanivroim v'chomram umamosham, when we look at the world, we look out and we see a real world. We see only their physicality. She'em yesh gomer, we look at them and see solid yesh. K'meshe nira ar ha-shemesh yesh gomer, just like the light of the sun seems to be true reality. K'she'en ha-bim k'ori, when it's not in its source. Okay, so the mashal was perfect until now. Rak. Shebezeh in ha-mashal d'ayim l'nimshal. Here is where the mashal breaks down. Here you really can't compare the parable to the lesson. Look at it. Shebe-mashal ein ha-mokeh b'metziyas klal b'chlal ha-olam. Because in the parable, the sun never really exists beneath the sun. Okay? If it did, we'd be a lot more like the Sahara than the Arctic, right? B'chlal oilam, v'al oretz, shenira sham oira liyash gamar. Here we have a great distinction between the ray and the body. Hashem kin kol habruim. But this is not true of all creations. Although they appear to be separate from their creator, it's not true. All creations really are constantly in their source. It's only that we can't see it. If that's the case, you said over there by the sun that the rays would cease to exist within the body of the sun. So if that's the case, if all creations are constantly in, still connected to the Creator, as if the rays are in the body of the sun, then why isn't the world disappearing on a moment-to-moment basis? It should cease to exist. We should be the rays in the sun. What is the separation that separates, in our case, the rays from the sun? Ach lahavin zeh tzarech lahaktim. But in order to understand this, it requires an introduction. And for the introduction, we're going to have to wait a week.
Before.
With the Ein Basar.
Yeah, because you said,